Hi, welcome to the Love and Serve podcast. I'm your host, Christy, and I am super excited to share with you. This podcast is all about loving where you've come from, loving where you are, and loving where you are going. I am honored to be on the journey of self-love with you together. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Love and Serve. And I'm really happy to be back here with all of you. Listen, I skipped last week. Oh my goodness. Some of you may have noticed, some of you may not have noticed, but nevertheless, I appreciate showing up here and just sharing with you wisdom and love and light to ignite your week, to help you get through your week a little bit more. And for me, it's all the right people, teachers, stories, circumstances, they come into my life at just the right time. And whatever it is that I'm needing to work through, believe it or not, the teacher appears. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, it's because it is meant for you. You are meant to hear the message, or someone you know is meant to hear the message. So don't ignore that. And I'm always a huge believer in sharing a story or a message if it's connected to our heart in some way with someone we love. And the way you know you're supposed to share it is when you hear something and you think, oh, I wish such and such could hear this right now. I am always thinking about who in my life needs to hear this message right now. And I will send all my friends, all my family know that I will send podcasts, I will send movies, I will send anything that I think will enhance their life. I am obsessed with growth, and I just want to be able to share that with people, even if it means they don't listen to it. It's up to them whether they listen to it. I just know that when I do share a message, it's because there's something they need to hear. So today we're talking about belief. And I want to share with you a little story about a lady named Phyllis that I met over a month ago. Some of you may have seen my Instagram story where I talked about this woman that I met. I had been on a walk doing my thing, and I walk by this house and I just see so much trash and junk in the yard. Now, next door is a $2 million home, you know, that's perfectly lawned and manicured and exquisite perfection to the finest. And then there's this little house next to it that just looked so sad. And I remember actually looking at it and judging it, thinking, I wonder how sad that person must be in order to live in those kinds of circumstances. Well, the universe had definitely projected something for me to see, to work on not judging it, because I walked down that block and turned around. And as I was walking back, there was this little old lady by the trash can in front of this house. And instantly, I was called to her. I walked over. I reached out my hand. I said, hi, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Christy. And she said, hi, my name is Phyllis. And it was like we've known each other forever. She was the sweetest lady. And I said to her, are you okay? Is everything okay with you? She proceeded to tell me the story. As many of you may or may not know, I live in Naples, and it was hit pretty hard last year by Hurricane Ian. And this house is very close to the beach. And so she shared that her house was affected by Hurricane Ian and that the insurance company only gave her $100. But she proceeded to tell me that right before Hurricane Ian happened, she had had heart surgery. And right before that, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And she just said, so all of this stuff in my yard is from the hurricane, and I've only had $100 given to me for repairs. I've been sleeping in my garage and there's mold and mildew everywhere. Now she's in her 80s. I asked her if she had family here. She said no. And all of a sudden, I got upset and angry because I felt this isn't right, you know? But I turned that anger and that energy into wanting to help. So I went home and told Gonzalo about it and made a post about it. And the next day, I was going to go back to the house to see what I could start with, what we could do. I mean, it was extremely overwhelming, I'm not going to lie. And I have so many things, projects I'm working on, and so many other things I really needed to be doing, but I just couldn't set by and watch this happen. And so when I arrived the next day, I saw like 10 men and police officers clearing out all this stuff and putting it to the curb. And I went straight up to Phyllis and I said, "Phyllis, what's happening?" She said, "Well, they're helping remove all of this because I've gotten a notice that it has to be gone." And there was a lot of sadness, but also the sadness was there because there were a lot of things that were destroyed. She was an antique collector and a lot of things were just destroyed and it wasn't salvageable. And she was trying to salvage it. I mean, just the magnitude of the emotion that she was having to navigate, I had to really empathize with her, but also encourage her that she needed to let things go. And one thing out of all of this mess, her chaos was like, she was laughing with the guy. She was creative. She was humorous. She was being so sweet. And I thought to myself, wow, in all this chaos, in all this mess, the message for me is that this woman has been through it and she is still got a smile on her face. And the way she would speak to me is like, "Hey, darling. Yeah, sweet girl." And it was just, she was just sweet as honey, just sweet as honey. And when I got her to sit down and drink some water, she shared with me stories of hanging out with Jack Nicholson on the golf course. And she shared with me paintings. You know, she was an artist, and paintings she did for all these interesting people. And there was so much wisdom and richness to her life. And all these other people drove by every day, had passed a judgment like I did, and nobody stopped. But what's even more special about this story is that all of that got cleaned up, but Gonzalo and I invited her. We had gotten to know her, and she had asked about what I was doing in my life, and I had shared with her, you know, "Well, I'm getting ready to act in a movie, you know, at the end of this year. I got the lead role in a feature film, a Christmas movie." And she's like, "Well, what can I do to help you with that?" And I said, "Well, I know the producers are looking for, you know, more investors." And anyway, she got so excited and wanted to introduce me to people. And she wanted to take me to this place, the senior center where she goes, and introduce me to people. And in the car ride, this is deep magic right here. In the car ride, she started sharing with us that she had just been to visit her heart doctor. And she said, "You know, he's one of those guys. He's just not very nice. Nobody really likes him because he's just, you know, he always has 8 people following him around everywhere, but he's very short, very rash, but you know, you can tell he's good at what he does. He's been doing it for a long time." So he comes in and he starts talking to me, and he's very short with me. You know, I try to lighten it up and, you know, share some jokes with him. He's not opening up really, really much with me. And then she says, she noticed that there was a fish picture on the wall, and she asked him if he loves to fish. And he said, "Oh, actually I do." And she goes, "Well, I love to fish too." And so they started having this fish conversation. And as the doctor was leaving, as he was opening up a little bit more, she said to him, "So what's your favorite fish?" And he shared the favorite fish with her. And she said, "So doc, let's make a deal. You get me out of this surgery alive, and I'm going to paint you the most beautiful painting of that fish. Now I believe in you, and I know you can do it." And he looked at her and he smiled and he said, "You have a deal." So the surgery day came and she shared with me that she painted the fish painting for him. And she took it in that day to surgery. And all the nurses were saying, "What are you doing? You can't bring that into surgery." She goes, "Don't you touch my painting. Don't you touch it. I'm taking that in." So she goes in. And before they put her under anesthesia, the doctor looks at the painting and she says, "See, you get me out of here alive. I believed you already were going to get me out alive, so I painted it for you. This is your painting when I wake up." Now, this story, when she told me this, just brought deep emotion on for me, because I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, number one, what an incredible woman. There's so many lessons in this. Number one, that she believed in that doctor so much, and she projected onto him belief that she knew that he was going to do it well and right. I got a lesson on belief, my friends. I got a lesson on belief that day from a little old woman who I had judged the outside appearance of her living situation. I want to ask you right now, what are you judging? What are you projecting? What are you believing or not believing in? I know that I have fallen many times on the track of belief, because I'm not going to lie, life can be hard, right? It can be so freaking beautiful, but it can be so hard. And especially when humans have let us down and we've let ourselves down over and over again, we begin to lose belief. We begin to lose belief in ourselves, and we begin to lose belief in others. But I believe that is because we have unrealistic expectations about the human experience, and that the human experience is not meant to be perfect, that it is absolutely imperfectly perfect because it's imperfect. And that to think that we are supposed to be faultless, we are not to make mistakes, is the illusion and the delusion and the crushing of the spirit. We have to remember that we are here learning. We are in this earth school to learn, to grow, to become, and to be creative, and to understand that when we mess up, it's okay. But see, we grow up in this world, we go to school, we get an education where everything is judged, everything is rated by how you perform academically. I was that kid that was so paralyzed by that red marker, those D's and the F's. I remember how it made me feel. I felt so insignificant. I felt stupid. I felt unworthy. I felt bad because I had a hard time learning. And I was made fun of in school for not being very smart, academically smart. But when I look back, I realize that I was in fight or flight my entire childhood upbringing. I was not eating healthy food. I was not in a healthy environment. I was in a fight or flight, and putting me into school in an environment where that's fight or flight, because now you're just trying to get love and connection and also be seen and understand and be understood, and nothing felt safe. I had a belief in school that, like I said, I didn't feel like I belonged there. I wasn't good at it, but I had to believe in something. I had to paint an image of a world that I could believe in, because I kept getting these signals from that world. Well, this isn't working. I'm not good at this. Everyone's telling me I'm not good at this. So, well, it's not working at home. So let me believe in something else. So I got lost in the fairy tale of film. I would watch movies, because here I was, this little girl in growing up in Kansas and other places like Oklahoma and wherever we were at the time, at different times of my upbringing, I had to believe in something. And so I believed in fantasy, the great movies that captured my attention and made me dream of something bigger, something more. It gave me excitement and something to look forward to. It was almost like it was my own little fairy tale. And so a lot of times as we go through our life and we have all these experiences, we begin to lose our affinity for believing in fairy tale. It's been made fun of by so many people who criticize the fairy tale stories, saying they're not real. It's not a reality. And I just want to challenge anyone who may still believe in that because you've been hurt so bad, or maybe you believed in that fairy tale and that fairy tale became a nightmare. The truth is that if we don't believe in the fairy tale, we will really begin to lose the authentic human experience that is meant to create magic. Magic by believing in something that we can't see. Believing that there is a message in every mess, and that there is consciousness in our chaos. There is consciousness waiting to unfold, to bloom, to be. I have, like many of you, given up at times on the fairy tale stories. I remember settling in my relationship with my ex-husband. I was married for over 20 some years. And I remember saying to myself, well, I got everything else I really wanted, but I guess in this life, I'm not meant to have a fairy tale relationship. I'm not meant to have real love. I'm not meant to have a relationship where I enjoy sex, where I have a deep connecting, bonding, loving relationship. I guess I got my kids. They're amazing. I got that. I nailed that fairy tale. I got the business that I wanted. I nailed that. I've been able to travel the world. I nailed that. I've got, great friends all over the world. I nailed that. I've got good health. I've nailed that. I've got that. I just missed that fairy tale. And I began to believe it. And when I moved to Ashland, Oregon with my ex-husband, I felt my spirit dying. I felt like I was a robot in my life, and I was so sad. I remember one night I went on a date with him. He's a lovely man. He's a nice man, good man. But there was no depth. There was no conversation. There was no fantasy of building and creating and growing together and, climbing the mountain to get to the top. It wasn't none of that. And I remember we got back at 6:30 And he went downstairs and had his bottle of wine and his peanuts and his ESPN. And I sat upstairs and I just was angry and sad. And I said, this is my life. This is my life. This is it. This is going to be the rest of my life. And I asked for him to come upstairs and he came upstairs and I said, I can't do this. He's like, what? Like, he looked like he was a deer shocked by headlights. And I said, I can't, like, it's 6:30 and we're home and you're downstairs doing your thing. And I want to go to the museums and I want to go to music festival. I want to go. I got to go. I got to live. And he looks at me like I had a third eyeball. He's like, what do you expect me to do? And I just realized, oh crap. That was like the first moment of me realizing something's really wrong here. And there were many things that occurred after that that led me up to this place where I am now. But I had to believe in love again. And I said a prayer and I said a prayer to spirit. And I said, God, please just show me love. Please. I just need love in my life. It's my breath. It's the air I breathe. It is love is everything for me. And I am not feeling it here. And I wasn't even looking for something on the outside of my marriage. I had never imagined a divorce. I had never imagined anybody else. Like, wasn't even in the picture. But I asked and I let go and I trusted God. A couple weeks later, I met someone. It's not the current partner I have, but I met someone and I fell in love for the first time in my life. Like, I loved my ex-husband in a brotherly, sisterly kind of way. We had 3 children together. I never knew what real deep love was, and I really didn't. I think there's different kinds of ways we can measure love. And I loved him, but it was definitely a different kind of love. And I never knew what to compare it to. I had no idea. So at 44, 43, 42, I don't even know. I don't even know what age it was. I fell in love for the first time. Really deep love. And that's a whole nother journey, whole nother story. Didn't work out. It'll be in my next book. I can't wait for you guys to read the next book. I know it's going to change so many people's lives who are suffering right now, who have been through really hard times, and you suffer in silence. And I feel so blessed to be able to bring stories to you that help you in your evolutionary journey. But I had to believe in love again. And love came to me. But that doesn't mean that once it comes to you, it's going to be a Disney ending. It means that when you believe in something and you ask for it and you know it's coming and you trust it's coming, it's going to come. But just know you're going to get stuff with it. You're going to get stuff you're going to have to work with. You're going to have things you're going to have to heal. You're going to have chaos. You're going to have obstacles. But on the other side of that is something magical waiting for you. Through all the struggle, through all the chaos that we endure, beauty, magic is waiting for you on the other side. If you are not reactive to it, rather you're responsive, you're dealing with it. You're walking through the fire consciously, not running, not blaming, not shaming, not hiding, not guilting, but standing strong and brave and fearless in your power. And that, my friends, is magic. The magic of believing, the magic to believe in yourself, the magic to believe that you have the resources spiritually around you right now that you can call in and ask for help for whatever it is you feel you need help with. Whatever aspect of your life you feel like you're drowning in or you're hiding from, ask your guides, ask the Creator, ask for help. You don't have to do it alone. But you are being asked to be a creator, to believe in magic, to believe that you are here to live an extraordinary life. But that does mean we need to pull the weeds. We got to plant new seeds. We got to create a forest of beauty. You're capable of that. But first, we got to clean out what's not serving you. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from your greatness? What's tying you up inside in fear of false illusions and stories that you've believed over and over again that are not the truth? We all get trapped in it. I love social media, but I hate it too. There's not many things I hate, but I love it. I have a love-hate relationship with it. I love it because it allows me to connect with you all and to share important information that may inspire you. And it inspires me at times. But then what I do absolutely hate is it doesn't paint the entire picture. It doesn't paint the entire picture. You don't see my times when I have been in the darkest night of the soul, in tears, alone, afraid, in chaos. You don't see all that because you know what? Cameras aren't on when that's happening for me. I'm so caught up in my own emotions and my own ego and the barking dog that I can't even think about serving you. And that's why when we're caught up in that stuff, we don't hear, we don't see people's dark nights of the soul mostly on social or in general, because we don't display it. We don't talk about it till oftentimes we're through it. We're through the storm. I'm working to be braver to talk about things when I am in it, to share it, to share the muck and the yuck. Because I know that if I walk through something, maybe that'll give someone else the courage to walk through it as well. So I hope you enjoyed this episode this week on believing in magic, believing in more than what you can just see with your five senses or taste or touch or feel. Believe in what's possible. Believe that there's a message for you in everything. Believe in love. Believe in you. Again, I'm so excited to always be sharing with you as much divine messages as possible. I'm working on a course right now that's going to help all of you who would like to work through some trauma to get to your truth and to really step into an extremely powerful version of yourself. Never before have I brought together all these tools that I have used and adapted for my own healing journey like I have now. I have an extraordinary team that is helping me to bring this to the world. And I am just allowing Spirit to download the exact messaging that will be the exact healing that the people that are drawn to this course will need. I know that too much is given, much is expected. And I am honored and grateful that you all show up to my podcast and you plug in here. And I want you to know that what brings me the greatest joy in my life, besides my children and my grandchildren and the loves of my life, is being able to serve you and to get your cards, to get your messages and your letters and your hear your stories of how my podcast or my books or whatever tool I've shared with you has changed your life in some way. You have no idea how much that inspires me to keep doing what I do and to keep giving and sharing what I can. because I can be very selfish at times. Selfish because a lot of times I think, well, I don't have a lot to say. What have they, you know, what do I have to say that they haven't heard? What do I have to say that's unique? And then I realize that that's the barking dog ego. That's the opponent trying to keep me small. That's the opponent trying to keep out the magic for others to experience. And if my teachers, my spiritual mentors, kept it all to themselves, how selfish that would be. So I also, like you, have to remind myself many times to get out there to share my wisdom and my teaching and my spirit and my knowledge, my experiences with you. Because it is medicine. It's medicine when we can learn through other people's triumphs and struggles. So I want to hear from you. I would love for you to introduce yourself to me on social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram, or you can always text me as well. My cell phone is 913-515-4508. If you need to share, I'm happy. Happy to help. And I just want to send you lots of love and really encourage you to believe this week and beyond. All right, everyone. Blessings. You can find out more about the things that we're offering at christydreiling.com. And of course, know you're loved. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and family if you think it will benefit them. And share a positive review if you like us. It's how we get our information out there and share this good stuff with the world. All right. Until next time, we'll see y'all. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Love and Serve podcast. It is my sincere hope that the rest of your day is filled with abundance, love, and light. Know that I believe in you, and when you shine your light, you unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as stated by Marianne Williamson. You are making an impact. I can't wait to see you on the next episode of Love and Serve. For more information, you can visit us at christydreiling.com and follow us at christydreilingbeauty.